From Spark and Anvil and Fraction Forge, this is 10th in Chapter 1 of the Fraction Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
10th lined things up in columns. To her, a number with its digits jumbled was as unsettling as an unmade bed. In her room at the Fair Share Village Academy, she kept a set of nesting boxes on a shelf, a large one, then a slightly smaller one that fitted neatly inside it, then a smaller one inside that, on and on down the row, each box exactly 10 times smaller than the box before it. She was a tidy little dormouse with a pencil perpetually tucked behind one ear, and she believed, with quiet conviction, that everything had a proper place. A young sparrow named Fen came to her one morning with a number written on a card. 0.7. What does the 7 mean? Fen asked. 10th took the 7 and set it gently into the very first box after the point, the biggest of the small boxes. It means 7/10, she said. 7 pieces, and each piece is 1/10 of a whole. So the 7 isn't merely a 7, it's a 7 that happens to be living in the 10th's box, and where it lives is precisely what tells you how big it is. Fen blinked, turning this over. The spot matters more than the actual number? Oh, the spot matters more than almost anything else about it, 10th said. The very same digit can mean wildly different amounts depending on which box it's standing in. Let me show you exactly why, because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
When 10th was small, she didn't understand columns at all, and her ignorance once cost her a prize. There was a village guessing jar one autumn. Write down your guess for the weight of an enormous pumpkin, and the closest guess won the pumpkin itself. Little 10th, wanting to seem clever and precise, wrote down a careful answer, but she crammed all her digits together in a rush, paying no mind to where each one sat. The guess that came out the other end meant something wildly different from what she had intended. What should have been a near miss was suddenly off by an enormous margin, an embarrassing one. The grocer who ran the jar was not in kind about it. He pulled out a set of little measuring cups, each one 10 times smaller than the cup beside it, and poured a brimming big cup of water into a smaller one until it overflowed across the counter. See that? It takes 10 of the little ones to fill a single big one. That's exactly how the columns work. Ones, then tenths, then hundredths. Each step you take to the right, 10 times smaller than the step before. Then he pointed at her crammed together guess. Your digits were fine, every one of them. They were just sitting in the wrong cups. 10th stared at the row of cups, the spilled water still beating on the wood. A 7 sitting in the 10th's cup meant 7/10. The same 7 sitting in the 100th's cup meant 7/100, 10 times smaller. Same digit. Different home, entirely different size. She went home that night and built her own set of nesting boxes by candlelight, and she never crammed a number together carelessly again.
10th came to the academy years later with her nesting boxes tucked under one arm. Slice, the old tortoise, wrote 2 numbers on the board to test her, 0.7 and 0.07. Same digit in both, he said. Tell me the difference between them. 10th did not rush. She set up her boxes in a careful row on the desk. The ones place, then a little painted dot, then the 10th's box, then the 100th's box. Into the 10th's box of the first number, she placed a 7 tile. 7/10, 7 of the larger small pieces. Then she placed a 0 into the 10th's box of the second number and slid its 7 1 box further along. Into the 100th's box. 7/100. And notice what the 0 is doing. It's holding the 10th spot open, declaring no 10ths here. And in doing so, it pushes the 7 down into the next box, which makes the 7 10 times smaller. The 0 isn't nothing at all, she added, warming to it. It's a placeholder. It keeps the 7 standing in the correct box. Take the 0 away, and the 7 slides straight back up into the 10th's box and becomes 10 times bigger, and the whole number changes meaning. Slice nodded slowly. He had taught decimals as just numbers with a dot in them for a great many years.
he had never before watched a student treat a humble zero as a careful little fence, posted on purpose to keep everyone in their proper place. "You may stay," he said.
In her tidy room, sometime later, Tenth met a flustered frog named Bramble, who arrived clutching two coins and a grievance. "Decimals are sneaky," Bramble declared. "I wrote 30 cents as 0.30, and my friend wrote it as 0.3, and we had a whole argument about which one of us was right. We can't both be right. That's not how being right works." "Let's box it up and find out," Tenth said calmly, and laid out her columns. Into Bramble's number, she placed a 3 in the tenths box and a 0 in the hundredths box. 3 tenths and 0 hundredths. Then into the friend's number, she placed a 3 in the tenths box and simply left the hundredths box standing empty. 3 tenths and nothing after it. She tilted her head, considering the two side by side. "Both of you put a 3 in the tenths box. That's the part carrying the value. 3 tenths of a dollar is 30 cents. Either way you write it. The extra 0 in the hundredths box only says and 0 hundredths, which is perfectly true, but adds precisely nothing. So you're both right, and neither of you was wrong." Bramble's eyes went round. So the 0 at the very end is just being polite. But the 0 in the middle, the one in 0.07, that one's actually doing a job. "Now you've truly got it," Tenth said, delighted. "A zero that holds a spot between other digits is doing real, necessary work. It keeps everyone standing in the right box. A zero hanging off the very end is just tidying up after itself. And the boxes will always tell you instantly which sort of zero you're looking at." Bramble laughed despite himself. "I am never going to trust a zero quite the same way again." When evening came and the academy settled into quiet, Tenth straightened her nesting boxes along the shelf, largest to smallest, each one 10 times tinier than the last. She thought, as she often did, about the guessing jar all those autumns ago, her clever answer ruined not because the digits had been wrong, but because they'd been sitting in the wrong cups. The grocer's patience, the water spilling over the counter. Your digits were fine, they were just sitting in the wrong homes. Fen, the sparrow, still perched in the doorway, ask the last question of the day. "Tenth, how do I always know which box a digit is supposed to go in?" Tenth pointed at her shelf of nesting boxes, the whole row of them descending neatly into smallness. "Start at the point and walk to the right," she said. "First box you come to, tenths. The next, hundredths. The next, thousandths. Each single step, 10 times smaller than the one before. The digit itself hasn't changed at all, but the box it sits in tells you precisely how much it's worth. Find the box, and you'll always know the size." Fen looked at the long row of boxes, large to small, and nodded. Then he flew home through the dusk, picturing every number he passed tucked neatly into its own little nesting box, each one resting in exactly the right place, and not a digit out of its home.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to 10th. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.